Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text Number 33. Ditishtu viditatenam karma vadena bharata upasangamya viprasrim Ado mukhya vyabhasata. Translation of Prabhupada. O son of the Bhad family, Aditi after this went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. Translation responsibly. O son of the Bhad family, Aditi after this went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. When one is ashamed of an abominable action, one naturally becomes downfaced. Deity came to her senses after the abominable sexual intercourse with her husband. Such sexual intercourse is condemned as prostitution. In other words, sex life with one's wife is equal to prostitution if the regulations are not properly followed. Om Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So now we're going to start hearing in the next few texts DT kind of explaining herself and feeling very ashamed and pitiful because of her action. Generally, after one is persuaded by lust, once they've performed whatever action, and after everything wears out, reality hits them, all the intelligence comes alive once again, and they realize how they've acted improperly. Generally, this kind of happens in modern society. By Sunday or Monday morning, one realizes just how much of their energy they wasted in sense gratification over the weekend. So in a sober state, one can see that certain actions do not lead to advantageous situations. Certainly, they do not lead one to advancing spiritually. So this is a good sign that deity is feeling ashamed of her abominable action, because having the type of husband that she did as Kashyapa, and also having been engaged in his service and supporting by also following the religious duties and principles as the better half of her husband, she knew the standard. So knowing that she had actually transgressed the laws of Shastra, she is feeling ashamed of this action. And we know when this potency of uncontrolled sexual intercourse degrades society in many, many ways. And right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna's surveying the scene, or when they're just about to go on the battlefield, they're just discussing the downfalls of killing so many men, killing so many persons who are protectors or who are giving shelter to the woman class. So in text 40 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Adhamadhi Bhavat Krishna Parishyanti Kulastriya, Sri Sridhrishtasya Varshneya, Jayate Vana Shankara. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the woman of the family becomes polluted from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. So, inappropriate, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Vanashram religion's principles were so designed so that the good population from the progeny would prevail. That is why it was advised within the Vanashram institution to accept a husband or to accept a wife, and under religious principles we get good children, good population. And this population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of womanhood. Now this is coming from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is also explaining that just as, you know, children are prone to be misled, therefore women sometimes are prone to be misled and therefore prone to degradation, and they need to be protected, they need to be guided properly by qualified men, of course. So this is such a, in general, of course, it is a hot topic in the material world. What this protection of womanhood means and how it comes about. So in many circles, of course, there's this so-called rise of feminism. I don't know if any of you are aware of the so-called feminist principles in which you know, those who strongly identify with the female or the female material body see themselves as very independent, not needing, in most cases, not all, in most cases, not needing the protection of a husband or, you know, grandparents or elderly sons. That persons, women can just go through life by themselves, be their own bosses, be their own managers, make their own decisions, etc., etc. So in contrast, the Vedic text teaches that yes, a lady should always be protected by her seniors when she goes through the different stages of her life. And this protection, of course, doesn't pertain to not having individuality or not having a voice or not having an ability to do anything themselves. It basically means the womanhood is protected from unscrupulous activities that will diminish chastity and faithfulness in that class. And Srila Prabhupada later on also explains that this all depends on having good manhood at the same time. So later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the strong man's strength should be applied to protect the weak and not for personal aggression. So, sex life according to religious principles or dharma should be for the propagation of children and not otherwise. So, this, as Krishna has explained himself, that he is a sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So the act itself is meant to produce, as we mentioned earlier, it is meant to produce a good population, a good human society that will gradually develop and become spiritually advanced and reconnect, of course, with the true spiritual identity. So it's important that we take the lessons here from this pastime with Diti and Kashyapa Muni in terms of understanding how to behave and how to act and how to reprimand ourselves when we know that we have performed in an improper way. So in this text particularly, Diti has come to her senses after performing an abominable act. So coming to her senses pretty much means that there is some intelligence that's popping up, giving her an idea and an understanding that her actions weren't particularly good. And sometimes we can see with children, when children have done something wrong and they approach you, their head goes down because they know they've done something terribly wrong. I know for myself, not only when I was a child, but even as a teenager, or if I had done something wrong and I was about to be reprimanded, once I've come to my senses and understood, yep, my actions weren't particularly good, when I would approach my authority, whether it's my mother or my father or my older brother or sister, naturally their head would go down and I would feel ashamed. So it is quite normal that when we have performed any faulty action and we're about to be reprimanded, or we individually understand our faulty behavior, that we behave like this. We externally show some remorseful situation, which is coming from our internal constitution at the same time. So, coming to our senses, I was very much taken back by this line. Diti came to her senses after the abominable sexual intercourse with her husband. So this is a sign of someone who does have some intelligence, that after behaving immorally, they understand their actions and they try to not behave in that way again. If we survey the scenes in modern or in this day and age civilization, sometimes persons don't come to their senses. Persons do not actually accept or understand that they are actually acting immorally or unethically. So, of course, DT's actions here are more or less giving us an example of how to behave, how not to behave. These are pastimes of the Lord, without a doubt. Not to be compared with the mundane actions of persons who do not even accept authority. One of the distinctions that the Bhagavad Gita makes later on in chapter 16, divine and demonic natures, is that those who are deemed as divine, they accept the authority of the Vedas, they accept the authority of Krishna. Whereas those who are deemed to have a demonic mentality, they do not actually accept any authority. What to speak of accepting the authority of God and His rules and regulations, or His commandments, as they are sometimes called. So not every person actually accepts authority, and in this instance, that is called demonic mentality. So it is not that everyone, after performing sinful acts, comes to their senses. DT had been engaged in serving her husband, who was an advanced soul, nonetheless a Prajapati, having a responsible role in creating progeny in this universe. So she had a lot of qualifications, she and her husband had lots of qualifications, but if we look in modern day context, even after performing sinful activities, which most persons don't see to be sinful, there is no remorse or there is no feelings of being ashamed or being sorrowful for one's actions. On the contrary, persons are very proud to be sinful. Although they do not see their sin, it's a very proud thing. When a man who's supposed to protect womanhood, who's supposed to be more intelligent, in offering shelter, care and protection, oftentimes deluded by false ego, those in a men's body are very proud to be promiscuous, and they are praised for this promiscuity. You know, there's different names that are given to such persons, and they are really praised. So different documentaries might be made about them, different songs might be written praising such behavior. And then of course, common folk, common persons who see or hear such behavior think this is normal. If these people are being praised, it must be good. Therefore, I should also strive to behave like this. Hence we see an entire cycle, or we see generations of uncontrolled behavior, we see generations of sinful activities praised. Irreligion becomes religion, and religion becomes irreligion. So unscrupulous men who are meant to be protecting society who are meant to be sense-controlled are behaving in the, of course, in the opposite way and creating havoc in society. So as I say, when you grow up hearing that having multiple partners is good and that the more you have, the stronger you are, guess what you're going to have in a few decades? An entire society of sinful activity. So this is being promoted, this is being applauded. And this is being applauded in our modern day context. Living without restrictions, living without rules. This is what is called freedom. Sometimes persons say, I want to be free, I want to be fluid. Actually, the new word that people use is fluid. You want to be sexually free or fluid. So it doesn't matter these days whether it's with the same sex or opposite sex or with one partner, two partners, whatever it may be. That's a sign of freedom, that you have control over your body. You can do whatever you want with your body. And that is your sign of freedom. Not understanding that they are actually bound by sense gratification. They are actually controlled by their senses. They go dasas, actually. Extremely controlled by their fleeting senses. So if we can picture, if we can imagine an army of uncontrolled senses in human society, and what type of population that breeds. Young minds are very, very impressionable, it is said. Children are like sponges. So whatever they see, whatever they hear, they will repeat. So when classes of men behave in such ways, with uncontrolled senses, no regulation for sexual activities, then they produce unwanted progeny. And the problem with this world, as Prabhupada would say, it is not that we are overpopulated, it is the quality of the population. So if we have a quality of persons adhering to authority, adhering to Shastra, then there is not so much havoc in society. It is very, very difficult to manage persons who are highly influenced by Rajagun and Tamagun. It is very, very difficult to manage people like that. But if persons are at least accepting some type of authority, their consciousness is being lifted from the lower modes of material nature, they are actually easier to manage. Because their eating, sleeping, mating, security habits are according to Shastra. They accept authority, they develop knowledge. Their attraction or their ability to absorb Krishna consciousness is much greater than those who are steeped in ignorance and passion. So when you have such a population, it becomes easier to manage such persons. But if you have a population that is steeped in Rajagun and Tamagun, it is very, very difficult to control. It goes out of control. Both from the whatever gender one might be, it becomes difficult to control. So, in the name of masculinity or in the name of femininity, it is uncontrolled sense gratification. So, there's no need to be proud, really. When persons proclaim their potencies in being a sexual predator or being sexually fluid, whatever it might be, in a gross or subtle way. Because there's the gross aspect and there's the subtle aspect. So it is important that we understand the potencies and the degrading effects of uncontrolled or unrestricted sex life, gross and subtle. It forces us to act in ways that we might not want to act in. So the Vanashram system, although it is not a spiritual solution, it is a material situation provided by Krishna to at least have people behaving like human beings, civilized human beings, instead of polished animals. Right, on four wheels called cars or two wheels, motorcycles. So it's highly imperative that we understand why sometimes Srila Prabhupada speaks very, very strongly about chastity, very, very strongly and firmly about faithfulness to a partner. We do know that right now the institution of marriage is a joke for some people. Most persons don't get married. You have what is called partners. A friend of mine who was getting married in New Zealand told me that when they went to go and register, when they went to the courts or whatever, and they said, "We've come to register, we're getting married in a month," people laughed. "You're getting married? You get married? Really?" They just couldn't believe that, oh, that's still going on. No, people get married these days. Okay, this is new but interesting. And they went in early thinking there'd be a long queue, you know, anything with government departments, you're there forever. Either on the phone or queues going down for miles. But it was empty. They walked in and people were shocked. "Oh, wow, you're actually getting married. This is amazing." But so the institution itself is under attack. It's ridiculed. Why subject yourself to one person? That's so painful. Right? You need to have options. You need to have variety. You don't want to be pinned down. This is how it's being painted out there. Not knowing the great protection it offers. Not knowing the longevity it offers in life. Not knowing the strength that, you know, any part of the Vanashram institution is offering for human society. It creates stability. So right now we have different percentages, whether it's in Australia or the United States of America, where the family unit has broken down so much, leading to so many different social ills in society. So many children come from single parent homes. So many children don't have a father or a mother, or they're put in orphanages, and it really messes with their psychology. It produces a lot of anger, it produces a lot of depression. Persons feel neglected, they do not have figures to look up to follow, to revere, to want to be like. So in the social system, there is a breakdown. And Krishna, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, is speaking about this. Now, when you have a social system that does not offer protection to women and children, the elderly, the cows, and the brahminical class, then your society is in big trouble. And we have evidence of that. All these five are actually not being protected. So the Vedic model, or the model Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about, it is meant for the ultimate benefit of each and every single being. It is not a system meant to subjugate. It's not a system meant to oppress, but it is a system meant to uplift human society. So within that system, there's codes of conduct and behavior. And these codes of conduct, of course, they're lost nowadays because of the rise of, you know, so many things, atheism, because of the rise of technological dependence, depending on money. Money has replaced our faith in the supreme power. Why worship God when I have all the wealth in the world? I have everything. Why do I need to pray? So there's so many things that are blocking person from accepting a system that's been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a way to help us navigate our way through life and make our connection with Him. So yes, activities that are condemned in Shastra, they do not lead to anything good. This is why in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, sexual intercourse is condemned as prostitution. Now, Prabhupada explains what he means. In other words, sex life with one's wife is equal to prostitution if the regulations are not properly followed. What to speak of, I mean, this is with one's wife, what to speak of with multiple partners. Right? That is condemned. That saps the strength and the potency of the men, and it diminishes the faithfulness and the chastity of the women. So both parties are actually at a loss in terms of their strength and their potencies to succeed in life. So control measures, rules and regulations are meant to guide human society. And when we live accordingly, we can actually see the results of such protection. Just as we accept in the material world that road rules are protecting us from car accidents, and it's a fact, we can see that. If there were no traffic lights in Melbourne, if there were no, speed limits in different zones, you can imagine some people drive like madmen. Some people drive as slow as snails. You know, that would really harm the lives of so many persons. So rules and regulations are there to protect. You can see that you have to, if you want to go to a country, if you want to enroll your child in a school, protecting them from diseases, you have to get them immunized. Ourselves also, we go to the doctors, we get our checkups, we see what vitamins are lacking in our body, we protect ourselves from so many things. So similarly, in the highest sense, different rules and regulations are given to protect us. So how to behave with one's, not only with one's wife or husband, but how to behave as a human being in general. How to eat, how to sleep, how to bathe oneself. But in different professions, in the military, they teach you how to take a shower. Very interesting. They teach you how to take a shower, they teach you how to wash your hands, they teach you how to make your bed. They teach you a lot of things on hygiene. Very, very interesting. Even with different things like being a nurse or a doctor or being a child care worker, they teach you how to lift, they teach you how to wash your hands under your nails, you know, your wrists. They teach you all these things so that you're protected from diseases. So similarly, the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita are teaching us how to protect ourselves from sinful reaction by taking to the process of bhakti, by adhering to these strictures given in the Bhagavad Gita, nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion. We are taught how to protect ourselves from spiritual suicide. And if we follow these guidelines, these rules and regulations, just as we follow the guidelines on how to wash our hands or how to clean the floor, how to drive in Victoria, the more we do this, the more we can actually raise our consciousness and be able to focus on Krishna. So we have different stepping stones that will help us understand the process of Krishna consciousness, help us accept Krishna's authority. And when we behave in that way, when we accept the Shastric injunctions, we're protected, not only now, but also in the future, in our next life. We're protected in terms of having another opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness and escape the cycle of repeated birth and death. So in the next few texts, Diti will be offering prayers to Lord Shiva, explaining her remorseful situation, her understanding that she has transgressed the laws of Shastra in terms of procreation, and asking for mercy and blessings and pardon on her actions. So in this way, the mood of repentance, the mood of accepting, I have done wrong, I will try to atone for my sinful activities, is something that we also should do. If we offend devotees, if we offend a friend, we take responsibility and we try not to repeat that same behavior. We try to ask for forgiveness for our offenses. whatever they might be. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Rob. From the Gita, 7:11 and 1:40. What verse was I quoting from the Bhagavad Gita? So I spoke on verse 1:40, where Krishna is explaining the family becoming polluted and the degradation of womanhood as a result of not being protected by qualified men who are following Vedic injunctions. Any comments or questions? So we all understand? It's all perfect to hear. Okay, if there's no comments or questions, we'll end there. Thank you very much. Bhanshan Shimad Bhagavatam Ki. Prabhupada.